Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, titled, As It Was in the Days of Noah. This is part of an ongoing expository study of the Gospel of Luke, and you can find the conclusion of this two-part study on our website at BBFOhio.com. along with many other free resources and our contact and donation information. You'll also find a link to our 24/7 internet radio connection, bbfohioradio.com. And now we get right into our current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, titled, As It Was in the Days of Noah. This is part one of two.
The current events update. Brought to you by Lip Smackin' Louie.
Yes. I got to say this. Come on down and get yourself a brand spanking new used car. That was my line. But all right. If that goes out on the radio, people will really wonder. Well, a big change in topic here, but deaf culture continues to grow, and this is a current events update. You need to be current about what's going on. A Canadian church has done this, and it's going to have to start happening all over the place, so you need to know about it, if for no other reason, so you won't be totally blown away when you see it. But they hosted a controversial assisted suicide ceremony for a member that had ALS, which is a terrible disease. I've known people. How many of you know anyone had Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS? It's terrible. But this is not the answer. Amen. At Churchill Park United Church of Winnipeg, the typical sanctuary, that's what they call their auditorium, seating was removed and replaced by comfortable chairs, tables, flowers, and a recliner, which a lady named Sanguine sat in during the event as people came and went through the day to say their goodbyes. Because she's about to kill herself. Wouldn't that be quite a church service? Friends and family visited Sanguine, who was joined by her adult daughters and grandchildren, with a lady minister leading the ceremony. The chemical injection to hasten death began at 1 p.m. An hour later, Sanguine... Our church door is possessed, by the way. It keeps opening. I've heard it shut, and it sounds like it's shut, but it still opens. The chemical injection to hasten death began at 1 p.m. An hour later, Sanguine had passed. In 2016, Canada passed a law legalizing physician-assisted suicide, with the law limiting access to citizens and permanent residents who were at least 18 years old and had a serious incurable disease, illness, or disability that included enduring and intolerable suffering. The law also required medical approval, a 15-day waiting period, and that two witnesses needed to be present. This lady had a whole church congregation present. The United Church of Canada is an apostate denomination, but that's what that church belongs to. And they passed a resolution as a denomination in 2017 stating it would allow physician-assisted suicide on a case-by-case basis, and acknowledged that its denominational members likely hold a range of views on this matter. But the bottom line was they'd let you have your funeral service while you're still alive. They put her in the church auditorium, they injected her, and people came in and said goodbye, and an hour later she's dead. And can you imagine if that catches on? Well, here in the United States, California has passed a law requiring doctors to cooperate with such things. They're not saying that the doctor has to administer the drugs that kill you, but if you go to your doctor and say, I want to die, I want to kill myself, they have to help you find a doctor who will do that and help you get that done. And of course, Christians and others with morals and ethics are saying, I got into this business to help people, not kill people. And so that's going on out there. And as we mentioned last week, we're going to see more and more of this. Speaking in regards to God's wisdom in His Word, Proverbs 8:36 says, all they that hate me love death. Yeah. If you open your eyes to it, the left liberal progressive population in this country and all others love death. They celebrate killing babies. They're not just pro-choice. They celebrate it. They wear T-shirts. They make videos and blog posts talking about it and even trying to say how wonderful their abortion was. How many of you seen that stuff? And they are celebrating the killing of unborn children. They're celebrating the killing of children who are born, and if they have like certain disabilities or whatever, they just let them lay there and starve and die. That's going on. Euthanasia, which is killing anyone who is seen as undesirable. You know, the mentally retarded, that you're not supposed to use that word anymore because we live in an Orwellian society, but also mentally handicapped. The elderly and infirm, you know, to get a certain age, or at some point it's going to become mandatory. That's where it goes. I mean, you allow it to start with to those who want to do it, but eventually it becomes mandatory. They call them useless eaters. People who are just eating up our food and taking our resources unnecessarily, so we need to kill them. In other headlines, just to keep you current on what's going on, there was some good news over in London, England. A street preacher was acquitted of hate speech charges after he was preaching a sermon on the street about biblical marriage. The idea that he was arrested in the first place tells you where England is.
Yep.
The fact that London, England has a Christ-hating Muslim as a mayor in a nation controlled by globalist Marxists tells you where England is.
Yeah.
We're not far behind, if we're behind much at all. But that's what's going on. A little good news, Exxon is prohibiting the use of the LGBTQP BLM flag outside corporate offices. Why did I say LGBTQP? Because the P is for pedophiles. And they're not allowing them to fly the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, pedophile flag. And they're not allowed. Now, their reasoning, they stated, they aren't necessarily anti-Sodom, but they're sick of the abuse from the activists. And that's what's going on right now, is there's hopefully going to be a big backlash. As they say, the pendulum has swung so far that now it's going to come back on them. I hope so. And then this lady, who is no saint, I mean, the Bible says you have to be born again, and she's not.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling compares the transgender theory she's really talking about, their agenda. She's comparing that to the Soviet Union. And she's right. The liberal left hates science and can't win with the facts, so they resort to Stalinist tactics. Everything Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook's doing is also being done in liberal cities, liberal city governments, liberal state governments, and the Biden P-resident agenda. They can't necessarily always shut you up with the law, so what are they doing? They're using other means to shut you up. They hate freedom of speech. Liberals are an enemy to constitutional government. Liberals hate the Bill of Rights. You only have a right to free speech if you agree with them. And they don't want you to have a gun because they know as long as you do, they can't really shut you up completely. And so forth. And one last one I want to mention is, you may have seen this in the headlines, Putin is calling on Israel to surrender an historical Jerusalem church to Russia. And the reason that's important is it originally belonged to the Tsar in Russia. And then after the Bolshevik Revolution, it kind of fell out of Russian hands. And Netanyahu had promised that he'd give it to Russia if they would release a prisoner they had. And they did, and Israel has kind of reneged on that. The reason this is important, though, is number one, the news media is not telling you all that background, so they're making it sound like Russia's trying to go in and steal a church out of Jerusalem. That's not the truth. Historically, it belongs to the Russian government. But on the flip side of that coin is, It's just another clear indication that Russia is getting their fingers more and more into Israel and Jerusalem, which is going to set up end times scenarios with Magog and all that. Well, and that just segues right into our Bible study in Luke 17. As in the days of Noe, N-O-E, which is another version of Noah. My name is Greg, but my name is actually Gregory. I'm usually only called that when I'm in trouble, but that is my name. And Noah, you could call No. I'm not saying we'll do this, but Ezra could be Easy. Bronwyn is Winnie. Olivia is Libby. Charlie is Chuck. I mean, I'd go around the room, every one of you, do that with your name. And No. All right. If you're there, Luke 17, we're going to have two verses in our reading from this text, and then we're going to look at some numerous other texts along with this. Jesus spoke of His return to rule and reign back in verse 22, you remember. And then He said, but first He would have to suffer many things. And then He jumps to what it will be like when He rules and reigns. What's it going to be like? So let's read verses 26 and 27 together. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Amen? So, if you want to know what it will be like when Jesus returns, one thing to do is research the story of Noah. Now, some of you say, well, we know the story of Noah. I can tell you that most Christians don't really know the story of Noah.
Amen.
they may remember their Sunday school version of it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. You know, you don't want to traumatize children. So you give them kind of a sterilized version of the story when you teach it to the little kids. If you ever seen a VeggieTale version, you know, when David defeats Goliath, they don't show him cutting the head off of Goliath in VeggieTales. Hopefully, though, you're not relying on VeggieTales to learn the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Well, most of you anyway. So the problem, most people fictionalize the account of Noah. As a matter of fact, just about every movie Hollywood's ever put out on it is a fictionalized version of the story of Noah. My favorite fictionalized version was the one where the guy from the TV show The Office, it was called Evan Almighty. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah.
And because they teach it that it was a local flood. How many of you heard that? I mean, in most seminaries and churches will teach it was a general flood. And if you look on the map, it was just a certain area of the world. And so the reason Evan Almighty is my favorite is because they narrowed it down to a neighborhood. I'm like, well, if it wasn't the whole world, it might as well have just been Noah's neighborhood. Yeah, you'd see there's video clips out there of that. You can see it. If you don't accept the account of Noah's flood, then you can't believe Jesus, since He certainly did. That's why I've warned everybody here. If you don't believe we landed on the moon, you know, just don't make a big deal about it, because there's a lot of people who are really convinced. And if you run around saying, well, we didn't really land on the moon, they're not going to want to talk to you about eternal salvation. They're not going. It's a big deal, you know, being saved. Jesus dying, burying, rose again. So if they think you're crazy, you know what I'm saying? It's one thing to stand on things of the Bible that people think you're crazy about, but don't add to that by saying, you know, that you believe that George W. Bush is a reptilian. You know? And he shift shapes and all that. And the whole flat earth thing. We've told people who believe the flat earth, you're welcome here, but please don't go around telling everybody that you're a flat earther, and certainly don't make them think we believe that. Because it would kill your witness around there. How many of you have seen some of the other crazy stuff out there? If you start telling people you believe in that stuff, when you sit down at Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, And you start talking about anything true from the Bible, they're just going to say, yeah, whatever. And, well, that's what they, you know, will think of Jesus. If you don't believe what the Bible says about Noah's flood, and you think the global flood is crazy talk, then you come over here and read Jesus, and you see, well, he believed in the crazy talk. See what I'm saying? That's what's happening to a lot of people, is they don't realize when they allow people to talk them out of their faith in the Old Testament, then they run to the New and see that Jesus seemed to believe in that stuff. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. No, actually it was a great fish. Jesus said whale.
Amen.
How could that happen? God. Jonah could have been swallowed by a mosquito if God wanted him to. You understand? So the idea is, anytime someone reads the Old Testament and doesn't believe it, and then they run and see that Jesus talked about Jonah being in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, if they've convinced themselves that that's a fairy tale, and they see that Jesus talked about it like it actually happened, forget about it. So with that, look at verse 27. What happened in the days of Noah? They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah... Now, we're going to talk about Lot's day, but when it says they married wives, they may have been talking about women there.
Yeah.
They were given in marriage, that includes the Sodomites, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And what do you see today? We talk about it all the time. We see all the signs, this end time signs all around us. Mm-hmm. And you see more and more people just yawn and just act like it's nothing. How many of you tried to talk to somebody about the Lord and when they won't listen to the gospel, so you try to stoke their, you know, interest, and you say, well, how do you explain what's going on in the world and how everything God said about the end times is taking... And they'll just say, oh, that's just your interpretation. That's just the way you see things. If you weren't in the church you're in, sitting under that bald-headed fat dude that you're listening to all the time, you wouldn't have these crazy opinions. You know, that's what they say. Jesus took the Bible literally, and he obviously believed in the global flood with the word all. Look at the last word in verse 27. He didn't say the flood came and destroyed some. Didn't say destroyed Noah's neighborhood. It says all. And so I just want to point that out, because that's also what it says back in the text where we're told about the flood.
Amen.
So let's look over at Matthew's account where Jesus speaks about the flood. It's a little different. Jesus talked about these things on numerous occasions. And you can compare the... He doesn't contradict himself, as people say, but he does kind of word it differently from here and there. And in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39, first I'll say verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But," verse 37, "as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And it sounds very similar to what we read in Luke. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Now read verse 39. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now if the flood only took some of them away, he wouldn't have said all. But if it was only some of them, then when Jesus returns, he's only going to take some of them. No, I mean, they're a one-to-one comparison there. The flood took them all away, just like when Jesus returns, he will take them all away. The Genesis account is equally as clear. We're going to look at it. Scripture is Scripture. Go back to Genesis 6. Now, this is important. If you take your work of the Lord, and everyone in here should be a minister. Every one of you have a ministry. Every one of you should be looking for opportunities to talk to people about Jesus Christ if they're lost.
Amen.
And when you do, you should try to at least have a good understanding of these things so that you can present the case. Give an answer to every man for the hope that is in you. Earnestly contend for the faith and so forth. You should know. You don't have to memorize these verses, but if you know when the flood comes up, and there'll be professing Christians who will try to argue with you about this.
Yeah.
If ask them, first of all, do you really believe the Bible? I mean, I'm not going to be offensive, but do you really believe the Bible? And if they say yes, then you should know to come to Genesis 6. You don't have to memorize it. Just remember to go to Genesis 6 and start scanning through there. You come down to verses 6 and 7. It says, "And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man." He didn't say, "I'm going to destroy some men." I will destroy man. Now, it's, when the Bible speaks in that, it's male and female. He's talking about mankind, the human race. "I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them." But don't quit too early. I should have put that down. Verse 8 says, there is an exception. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." If it wasn't for that, Noah would have been destroyed with them. Because it was man, with one exception, and then God granted him, I believe, just because of Noah being who he was, he let his family live. We read, as soon as they come off the boat, they show their character isn't on par with Noah's, especially Ham's. But he's God's gracious. Look down at verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, as it was in the days of Noah." Are we there?
Yeah.
Verse 12, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Verse 13, "And God said unto Noah, the end of what?
All flesh
is come before me. For the earth," not just a neighborhood or region, the whole planet, "for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Look over chapter 7. He repeats it over and over. The only person who can miss this is a dishonest person. Verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens." How many of you have seen the Noah's ark thing? There's always just two by two.
Yeah.
Here's one way they get it wrong. It's the clean, they had sevens. The unclean, they had two. Goes on to say, "And of beasts that are not clean by two." See, the male and the female. So an accurate picture of Noah's ark should show clean animals in sevens and the unclean in a pair. Well, what else do they get wrong when they read this? Well, verse 3, "Of fowls of the air by sevens, and the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth." Why would he have to do that if it was only a region? He would not need to even do this if it was just one little section of the earth and a local flood, as they teach. "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy." What? "Every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." Doesn't that sound like a local flood? It's global. Every. All. "And Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him." Of course, look it down in verse 17. "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters." It's the earth. The whole earth. Verse 19, "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven." That's the whole deal. "Were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered." And all what?
Flesh.
Say those first three words with me. "And all flesh died." Four words. That moved upon the whole earth. It's not just one section. The earth. both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. How many?
Every
man. I just am amazed that there, I'm not kidding you folks, the majority of preachers will stand in pulpits in America and contradict that. And then when you read that Jesus believed in a global flood, they're basically calling Jesus either a liar or an ignoramus. They got the wrong Jesus. Their Jesus is not God and not omniscient. And that's why they don't preach the gospel in those churches. That's why. We keep reading for a minute. Verse 23, and every living substance. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping thing and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive.